Coming back to one of our other top stories this morning, the African Union has called for Libyan authorities to investigate slave markets of black Africans following the release of shocking images showing the sale of young men. Guinean President Alpha Conde, who is also the chair of the African Union, demanded an inquiry and prosecutions relating to what he termed a despicable trade from another era. This after CNN broadcast footage of a live auction in Libya where black youths were presented to North African buyers as potential farmhands and sold off for as little as $400. Many of these men are migrants who risk their lives to flee situations in Guinea, Senegal, Mali, Niger, Nigeria and the Gambia to find a way across the Mediterranean into Italy. They were aided by human smugglers who are now being accused of human rights abuses. For more on this situation and other examples of slavery in the world, I'm joined on the line by Terry Fitzpatrick, who is the Communications and Advocacy Director at Free the Slaves. Thank you very much for speaking to RFI this morning, Terry. You're joining us on the line from Washington, D.C. Can I begin firstly by asking you for a comment on the images which have come out of Libya?
Shocking, but unfortunately not surprising. If you're like me, you probably learned in school that slavery ended 150 years ago or even earlier. What happened was it was outlawed. It was never really ended. And that's why we're seeing these horrific images in North Africa today.
Now, slavery, is not new. Unfortunately, is not new. Even though you say it officially ended, but it seems to be only now that the African Union and the international community are opening their eyes to slavery in the 21st century. Why has it taken them so long?
Well, this is nothing new at all. Actually, new statistics out from the United Nations reveal that 40 million people are enslaved worldwide right now. This is at mines, on farms, at construction sites, in homes as servants, and at brothels. And about 8 million of that 40 million total have been targeted while migrating to escape conflict or to look for work, to send money back home. And so migrants and refugees are especially vulnerable. Now, why are some countries waking up to this today? Well, it's often that's where the problem is worst, in South and Southeast Asia and in Central and West Africa. And no one wants their country to be branded as a slave state, because this is about global trade and not just about human rights and migration. Slavery is a $150 billion a year industry, with profits from slavery-tainted cocoa and gold and fish and fabric and diamonds and lumber, and that list goes on. So no world leader wants their state to be quarantined or possibly branded and embargoed as a slave state. So that may be why some states have embraced the problem and have joined the global solution. Others are reluctant to do so.
Can you give us an example of exploitation that the Free the Slaves organization has managed to help people escape from?
Oh, sure. Let me say one thing. That at a global level, three things need to happen. One, we need better policing and access to justice. The bad guys have to be put away so they can't enslave anyone else. Two, corporations need to be nudged or regulated into examining their product supply chains and ensuring that nothing is tainted by slavery, all the way down to the raw materials. And the third element, and this is where our group, Free the Slaves, works on, is community investment. We need to cut off a supply of vulnerable people into the systems of slavery. Now, we do this by going in and understanding why are some people falling into debt when there's a fire or a medical emergency or a crop failure, and having to be forced to work it off, so to speak, in debt slavery. Then help people solve that problem, help people extricate themselves en masse from where that's happening. In India, we work in six countries right now in about 1,000 communities, and then put investment into that community with microenterprise training and microenterprise investment so that people have the financial wherewithal so that they don't fall into slavery once again. This is one of the great human rights challenges of our time, but I must say, I think it is one where we have the greatest opportunity to win. Nobody thinks slavery is a good thing or that it's economically necessary. We've won those battles. Now we just have to finish the job that was started 150 years ago.
Thank you very much for speaking to RFI this morning. That was Terry Fitzpatrick, the Communications and Advocacy Director at Free the Slaves organization, on the line from Washington, D.C.